Good morning. Good to have you all here this morning. We're so thankful for you being here this morning. We're also glad to be back off of our trip. We had a real incredible trip that we were on. We just learned a lot of things on this trip. I think that I'm not sure if anybody that was on this trip is not ready to go back for next year, because there was definitely a step in the right direction on what God's intention is. And we definitely want to do what God wants. So it won't be long that we're going to put some things together, and you'll start seeing that fairly quick, simply because next year we want to really go all out and get this thing moving forward. One of the things we're going to do is change the name of the trip. It's going to be a camp meeting. This is going to be an annual event, and that trip is a long trip, but I tell you, it's worth the drive, and we'll have to make some arrangements on how we're going to do this next year, but we're expecting to have a great turnout for next year. So I want you to keep that in mind. The Amish trip that we went on took everybody, and it's going to be more of a camp meeting. We're going to work with scheduling three services, nightly services, for the next year's event. And so it took some time, 2 years, for that thing to kind of develop. But it definitely went in the right direction this year. And you just want next year to be here already. That's how exciting it is. But we need some time to pray and seek the Lord and to plan and make sure everything's put people in position that's there. And work with the landowner that's there to see if we can help get that campground in tip-top shape. I was doing vision casting on my way back. You got a lot of time to do that when you're driving. And I was thinking about that bathhouse and all of that, and just, I'm excited. I'm really excited. So, well, let's get started. We're going to go into today's message here. We've been talking about the first man, Adam, and the last man, Adam. Now, this is our fourth recording on this. One I did, it was a little short recording on Sunday past because we was leaving for our trip. So I'm going to do a bit of review on that particular part. So I'm going to start with the origin of man, and that's slide 44. The origin of man is where I'll start with that, so you can kind of get an idea on what we were doing, where we're going with this, so it'll give you some understanding. Now, dealing with this, the first man, Adam, and the last man, Adam, what we've been doing is a biblical typology of Jesus. And there's a lot of typologies of Jesus throughout the Bible. There's a lot of types that represent Jesus. But we started with the first one in Genesis, and that's Adam. And so we're looking at these typologies, so they'll bring about some awareness of God, the structure of the Word of God, how the Word of God is structured, and what God expects for us to understand as we read the Scripture. A lot of times we read the Bible, and we read it, and our understanding is just based on what somebody said to us or what we've learned from when we were little children. But we never studied the Scripture for ourselves. And I've been encouraging you for the last couple of years to get the Bible and study it for yourself. Look at it as an entire book. And to help you along that lines, we did that. We structured our services in accordance with that so we could look at it together. So you see, a lot of it, we've been going back to the beginning and looking at it. So in this particular title, and I breezed over these Sunday past, the origins of man. I'm going to go through these fairly quick because I did them last Sunday. But then we'll start where we need to start here for this Sunday. I have a few slides that I'd like to cover dealing with this particular subject. So let's look at the origins of man. He formed man, God did, from the dust, meaning that he was a complete human. So when he took Adam and formed him from the dust, and I want you to understand that when he says he formed him from dust, he didn't take a chunk of clay Don't think in those terms. Like he took a chunk of clay and he kind of formed the clay into man. The scripture is clear. It says he formed him from the dust of the ground. How small is dust? So it took a creative God, God in his masterful creation, to form man and put man together. Man is put together from small parts. And it just shows you how incredible God is and what God can do. So he took these parts and placed them all together. Adam was a 100% human with a body, soul, and a spirit. So I want you to think about that. Adam was 100% human with a body, soul, and spirit. A body formed from the dust, a soul and a spirit given by God. So where did he get the body from? He got the body from dust. He formed man from dust. But then God gave man something. Soul and spirit comes from God. He gave that. That's an addition to what was formed. I mean, understand that. Dust plus spirit, or the breath, equals living soul. So he breathed, the scripture says he breathed into the nostrils of what he formed, and man became something. What did he become? A human being, a living soul. So that's where we have our first human being. And so we want to make sure we understand that. Just like Adam is 100% human with a body, soul, and spirit. That's Adam. We know, we understand that first creation. Man is the first creation. He created man in his image and his likeness. And so we see that. Jesus, talking about the typology here, Jesus is 100% man with a body, soul, and spirit. And so these are important aspects of what the scripture declares to us. So let's look at it in Hebrews 2 again. I went over this fairly quick on Sunday, but I want to look at it again with you. Hebrews 2:14, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood. So we share in flesh and blood. What do we share? Who we share that flesh and blood with? From Adam. So from Adam, the first man, and his wife Eve, they had children. And all the human race comes from that family. We share in flesh and blood. He himself, who is he talking about when he says, he himself likewise partook of the same? Talking about Jesus. Jesus partook of the same. Did he partake of something different? No, we took of flesh and blood. So what did Jesus partake of? Flesh and blood. Very simple stuff. And I think that the confusion comes in from us not challenging the teaching of the scripture. For years, nobody challenged the teaching of the scripture. We just sit there and take it as it comes. So whatever is said, that's what it is. But we ought to go back and challenge the things of the word. We ought to know them for ourselves. Let me ask you this question. Since we started our endeavors to understand the scripture more than we ever have, by pointing out some critical parts of scripture that are necessary for us to understand, how many here has it engaged you to study more than you ever have before? Let me see your hand. Have you been studying more than ever? So listen, if you haven't started yet, you need to. You got it. This is the only way you can learn is if you study more and seek more of the understanding of scripture. And there's a simple truth, just like we point out here. He himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So how did the devil gain that power? Because Adam was given a command. And we'll get in this later on in this teaching. We'll talk about it and really emphasize those points. But he was given a command not to do something. But he had all authority. Remember, how much authority was given to Adam? All authority was given to Adam. And we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. We're talking about the first king and queen of the earth, Adam and Eve. They were given all authority. Then he says, conquer. He told them to conquer. You conquer all things. But what was there to conquer? He was talking about there was going to be an adversary coming, the devil, who's going to challenge the command I gave you. You to conquer him. And we know the story goes, he didn't conquer him. So because he didn't conquer the enemy, he gave the power of death to Satan. But Jesus is going to render him powerless. How many excited about that? He renders him powerless. And that's what's incredible about the Word of God. Therefore, he had to be made, talking about Jesus, he's going to render him powerless. He had to be made like his brethren in all things. Do you see that? If he's made like his brethren in all things, what does that make Jesus? It makes him 100% man with a body, soul, and spirit. That's what it makes him. And this is the challenge that we have in our society today, is that not everybody wants to accept this what the Scripture says. We want Jesus to be something else. Because I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because we're unlearned in that or we really, truly don't realize what he accomplished when he was sinless. He didn't accomplish being sinless because for some reason he had the power that nobody else had to overcome sin. He was sinless because he chose not to disobey God. That is incredible to me. Jesus chose in his life, I won't disobey God. And then we'll get on to that. There's so much more to talk about that later on in this study. But listen to the Scripture. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So he became, he couldn't be the sacrifice for sin unless he was sinless. You can't take, you remember the type of that? What's the type of that in the Old Testament? He says you to go and get the lamb without spot. You don't go get one. So if you go in the field, you got 100 sheep, and you say, well, that one's got a broke leg. I'm going to sacrifice that one to God. Was that acceptable? No. God says, I don't want the one that's crippled. He said, you go out there and you find me one that doesn't have any blemish. You find me, I mean, the one that you want. The one that you want to keep, like the best of the whole, everyone that the sheep that were born, the best one. It's the most most beautiful sheep you have. That's the one I want. It's a type. Because that's what Jesus would be. Jesus would be one who would be sinless. And because he was sinless, he can make propitiation for you and I, for the sins of the people, because he had no sin. Does that make sense to everyone? And this is very important that we understand that. Every person in this world is a complete human being with a body, soul, and spirit. I've never met a person yet, and I've been different places, and I'm sure you have, but I've traveled all over. I've even traveled around the world, and I've never met a person, no matter where they live on this planet, that's not a complete human being. That's got a body, soul, and a spirit. So everybody's the same. It doesn't matter where we grow up, who we know, what religious background we have. Every person born in the world is a complete human being with a body, soul, and spirit. Okay? So I want you to keep that in mind as we go to this next section. Every person is a complete human. Jesus was a complete human being with a body, soul, and spirit. Jesus had the capacity to sin. He could have sinned. If he couldn't have sinned, then what is the point? Listen, if he can't sin, what's the point in tempting him? You tempt somebody to see if they're weak and frail, and they succumb to the temptation because they have within their being the capacity to do it. But they refuse to. That was Jesus. Adam had the capacity to sin. And he did. Jesus had the capacity to sin, and he did not. That's incredible. That's why he is the supreme sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. That's why. Because he made it through it. So we want to understand these principles as we go through this. Something happened to Adam when he fell. The humanity in Adam changed because of sin. Something also happened to Jesus. But let me focus on what happened. When Adam sinned, something happened to him. There was a change with on the inside of him that was so different that Adam started acting different. Immediately he started acting different. So we know there was a change in him because the scripture indicates to us that he started acting different. The days prior to him giving in to sin and breaking the command that God gave him, he was a different person. When God would come to communicate with him, he had no problem with that. He had no problem spending time with God or communicating with God. But when he sinned, something happened. When he fell, the humanity in Adam changed. And now when God comes to communicate with him, the communication breaks down. He doesn't even feel like he can be in God's presence. He hides himself from God. Isn't that strange? He never hid before. We have no indication of scripture where Adam would hide before, but this particular time, he hides himself from God because of sin. Because there was a breakdown in his humanity. Something happened to Jesus. We want to look at that. 1 Corinthians, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, we'll start reading with verses 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So when we look at this, there's some things that I think is of great value for us to see in this. First of all, I want you to see that resurrection. I want to talk about resurrection. There are two aspects of the resurrection in the Bible. Two aspects of resurrection. And I want to talk about this first before I can explain the entirety of the text we just read. There are two types of There are two aspects of resurrection in the Bible. First of all, a spiritual resurrection. And then a physical resurrection. So I want you to keep that in mind. There's a spiritual resurrection and a physical resurrection. Number one, through Adam, mankind was born naturally physical. through Adam, mankind was born naturally physical. Through Jesus, man can be born again spiritually. And I want you to keep that in mind. Remember, there's two aspects of resurrection. Two aspects. First, there's a spiritual aspect and a physical aspect of resurrection. Through Adam, mankind was born naturally physical. We had no problem with that. From Adam and Eve's children, their children, their children, their children, their children, the whole human race is born physically through Adam. But through Jesus, man can be born again spiritually. And we want you to see what we're talking about that. There. Through the first Adam, we receive physical life. Is that not correct? Through Adam, we receive physical life. Through the last Adam, which is Jesus, we receive spiritual life. You can't get it without going through Jesus. No one can receive spiritual life except through Christ. How many understand that? That's why it's amazing to me that in our society, how we have massaged the Word of God so much, and we've tampered with it in such a way that some believe that there are many ways you can have this spiritual awareness, many ways you can have this spiritual life. That you hear it all the time. Everybody, you know, many people have different ways for their spirituality. Yet the Scripture doesn't record that. The Scripture doesn't testify of that. Through, let me ask you this, are there many ways for people to receive physical life? Can anyone receive physical life without it being directly attached to Adam, the first human being? No one can receive physical life unless it's linked. It's a link all the way back to Adam because he's the first human being. And no one can receive spiritual life because they have to be linked to the first one who accomplished that work, and that's Jesus. He's the first. Nobody has spiritual awareness in life because, listen, Adam was created with it, but he lost it. Something happened to Adam when he sinned. Something happened to him. He changed. He didn't want to hang out with God no more. He hid himself. He was all over the place. He was doing things out of his own head. He had no communication with God anymore. Was he operating in the wisdom of God anymore? No. All that was severed. He didn't have any link to that. And so we see that. We see that. What he did and how he operated, that we see those things happened. So now it's going to have to be brought back. So it's a process of bringing man back to God. It took a long time. So God selects a people. So he's going to do, he's got to select a people. I'm going to raise me up a people, and I'm going to start training them and teaching them how they can come back to me. So he starts giving types to them. How many remember the feast in the Bible? The feast. There were seven feasts. And those things were to be done annually. Annual feast. And those feasts were types of what was to come. The stuff that's real and true is coming. But there were types of what was to come. And then we're going to have the evidence of that in the future. And these are, how many know when the fullness of time comes? That the Scripture talks about, then we're going to see that take place. And we'll get into that. Well, hopefully we'll get to some of that this morning. So look at verse 45 again. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. He became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. How many see that? However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. So we're looking at these aspects of what happened in the life of Adam and a type of what happened in the life of Jesus. So just as you receive physical life from Adam, you receive spiritual life from Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, thank God for that. Number two, Adam represents the mortal carnal life. A mortal can die. That's what it means. Mortal can die. B, carnal, always disobeying the commands of God. That's what it means. When you're carnal, you're always disobeying the commands of God. From Adam, that mortal carnal life, once he sinned, something changed in him that was passed on to every man after that. It's passed on. So the carnal part of you and I, that's with us. It's a part of us. It's constantly looking for an opportunity to disobey God because it's carnal. And this is important for us to understand. But watch what happens for us. Jesus represents the immortal, holy life. That's what he represents. Jesus represents the immortal, holy life. How many thank God for that? It's what he represents. And so the scripture points that out for us. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven, or heavenly. Because later on in the text, it tells us what he means there when he says, from heaven. He's heavenly. I mean, thank God that we have the second man that is heavenly. What does it mean to be heavenly? It means you represent God perfectly. You represent God perfectly. So the life that Jesus lived, he lived it to represent God. He was a representation of God. Remember we talked about that early on in the study? He was made, as Adam's made in the image of God, Jesus was made in the image of God. Because he was a representation of God. He represents God. So the first man is from the earth, earthy. He was taken from the ground. The second man is from heaven. He's heavenly. And so we see that throughout Scripture. Jesus was 100% human, but had the capacity to sin. He was 100% human, but had the capacity to sin. Those who have the same nature of Jesus will not be held by death. Those who have the same nature of Jesus will not be held by death. And it's very important that we understand that. The first man, Adam, changed and became a slave to sin. The last man, Adam, Jesus, changed and became immortal and incapable of sinning. But up prior to that, he was attacked by the enemy. Let's read that, the accounts of that in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, go to Luke. I want to point something out to you. In the fourth chapter of Luke, verse number 1. Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. For 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when he had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me." From who? Who handed it over to him? Adam did. Who had control over the domain or the kingdom? Who had control over the kingdom first? Adam did. But it was handed over to Satan. So what does Satan do? He says, well, I'm going to challenge Jesus with this. He said, I'm going to give him back this domain, but he's got to do one thing. Worship me. If Jesus would have worshiped to get the kingdom back, would that have been sin? Absolutely. Why? Because Jesus said this. He says, I'll give you this, give it to you, whomever I wish. He's telling him he can give it to him. For it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So if he'd have done it, he'd have broke that command, right? He'd have broke that command. What's the first command he'd have broke if he'd have turned the stones into bread to satisfy his hunger? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. See that? So we see some very important principles here that Jesus points out. And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle, excuse me, of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. This is Satan quoting scripture from Psalms. So don't go around thinking you can fool with the devil with a little study here and there. You're either going to be well versed in the scripture or you're going to get fooled. Satan used the verses of scripture on Jesus. But Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You can't tempt God. So I won't tempt God. This is an interesting encounter here. So when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an appointed time. So my point is this. Jesus was 100% human, had the capacity to sin, so therefore Satan was tempting him to sin. Yet he refused to. And every time he had power over Satan, it was because he went back to the Word of God and used the Word that he had learned. I want you to know that Jesus had to learn the Scripture. He wasn't born with the Scripture in him. He was a little baby, born from the virgin. He was a little boy. He grew up, and he became a young man. He had to learn those things. He was taught those things. We see that in Scripture. He said, the things that I know, I'm taught from my father. I learned those things. If Jesus had already known those things, if Jesus was God, would he have known all those things already? Absolutely. He would have known them all. But Jesus had to learn those things. He had to be taught those things. So when Satan came to tempt Jesus, he refused to fall to the temptation. And if he would have sinned. And again, Satan would have turn the plan of God upside down. So the first Adam changed and became a slave to sin. The last Adam, Jesus, changed and became immortal, incapable. He's incapable of sin. And that's what's so incredible. How many want to get there? Right now, you and I aren't there. We're still capable of sinning right now. Even though we go to church and we're Christians, we're still capable of sinning. But there's going to be a time that's going to change. I'm excited about that. There's going to be a time that that's all going to change. And right now, we're going through it. Right now, we're being tested and challenged. That's why he said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The one who endures all of this stuff, who goes through some things. Did Jesus endure to the end? Yes. And what happened? On the third day, God raised him from the dead because he endured to the end. He was found faithful. How many want to be found faithful? We can be. We can be, but we have to use all the scripture that's been given to us. It's for our benefit. Listen, you don't want to go and take on anything in life and just know some things about it. Because in the end, you're going to look foolish. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to go and in any business, play any game that I don't know any of the rules. I just get thrown in there. That would be foolish for me to do something like that. But if I know the rules and I play, you know, if I've been practicing it and I know it, then I'm going to have a better shot at it when I get involved in it. And still then, I'm going to have to be at the top of my game. Even though I know the rules, I would be in trouble if I didn't at all. I would look foolish trying to get there and play something that I know nothing about. And does anybody understand what I'm saying? How many times have people try to play out Christianity and use it so loosely? Everybody's a Christian, everybody, and nobody knows anything about it. What's the rules? What's God telling us we got to do? There's rules to this, and we have to make sure that we abide by those rules and we follow those rules. Jesus, here he is, the Son of God. The Messiah, he's got rules. Remember in Hebrews, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. That's what he said. I come in the volume of the book. He said, I've got all the commands, all the laws, you told them to me, I'm going to keep them all. I'm not going to break any of them. And here we have this in Luke, we have an account where Satan was using, I believe Satan was going to use the three best ones he could find to try to come against Jesus. So after a 40-day fast, number one, you're going to hit him first of all with his hunger. Right off the bat, you hit him with that. Get him going because he's hungry. He hadn't eaten for a long time. We need to get him cranked up with that. Did that work? No. Because Jesus said, I refuse that. So that we see those things unfolding. So then he hit him with, I'm going to give you back what Adam lost. That's tempting. Let me tell you, that's very, 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 very tempting to get back what Adam lost. But listen, Jesus knew, I'm going to get it back. He read and he understood the scripture. There was going to come a time that he was going to get it back, but he wasn't going to give it because Satan offered it to him so he can bow down his knee to Satan and worship him. He said, you can't do that because there's only one that you shall worship. And that's Yahweh, God, the Almighty. We worship him only. Well, did Jesus submit to the Father? Did Jesus submit to God, the Almighty, Supreme God? Did he submit to him? Absolutely. No different than you and I have to. And so we see these things happening throughout Scripture. Number three, some people will seek to live like the first Adam. And some people will seek to live like the second Adam. Verse 47, the first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. Verse 48, as the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. So you see that some is going to seek to live like Adam. Do we see that in our society today? Absolutely. He's earthy, they're going to be earthy. But some will seek to be heavenly. And it's a decision. Remember that. It's a decision. You and I got to make a choice whether we're going to live like Adam, the first Adam. And we can. We can live like that. We're born that way. We can continue to live that way. Or we can live like the heavenly. He said, as the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. They're like him. There's a lot of Adams all throughout the world. But he says, as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. We can also use the example Jesus left us and live in the heavenly. How many see that? The scripture is very clear here. So there's a play on our part that must take place. We can choose every single day of our lives to get up, and we can either be like Adam, earthy, make decisions based on that power and that authority he's got, which was completely diminished and undermined once he forfeited his power of the kingdom that God gave him, his domain. Satan says, I got it, and I can give it to whoever I wish to give it to. That's what he said. So all of those things are important, valuable for us to see. And so these are important principles for us to continue to look at. We got to look at these continually. And so my prayer is that you and I, that we will take on the initiative in our life to make sure that we're seeking these things out. So just as those who follow after Adam's nature, we can also follow after Christ's nature. Amen? Number four, the natural life is a reflection of Adam. The natural life is a reflection of Adam. The spiritual life is a reflection of Jesus. Verse 49. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy. We have borne the image of the earthy. There's no issue there. Every person in the world has borne the image of the earthy. Every person. Every person that's here. You've borne the image, not by choice. It's just what it is. We don't exist unless there's a direct link to Adam. We come from that. So that DNA flows throughout all humanity all over the world. So if you worry about who you kin to, don't worry anymore. You kin to everybody. That ain't my people. Well, I don't know what people you're talking about. You're kin to everybody. In some way. Well, just as we are born the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Anybody want to be kin to Jesus? We also will bear the image of the heavenly. And that's what it's all about. So we're on our way there. We're working that out. That's why it takes faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. That thing's being worked in us. And it's not easy to work that in, but we have to submit to that on a daily basis. So if we bear the image of the earthy, no doubt about that. I don't think anybody argues that point. We bore the image of the earthy. But he said we also bear the image of the heavenly. But that point's always up for discussion. We can bear the image of the heavenly, but we're only going to do it by the prescribed method that he shows us throughout the scripture. It can't be done any other way. It's through that prescribed part. So these are important principles, I think, is of great value for you and I to continue to look at throughout our study of this. Number five, we're going to end with this one. The Adamic life cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The Adamic life cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Cannot. The Christ life can and will inherit the kingdom of God. The Christ life can and will inherit the kingdom of God. Let's look at it. Verse 50. Now, I say this, brethren. It's our continuation of 1 Corinthians. Now, I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Notice that. Well, who is he talking about there? Every person who received physical life from Adam, every person cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Does that include all of us in this room? Absolutely it does. So flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Notice that. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable, and that's what we are, every one of us in here, we're perishable. We're getting older, and as we're perishing every single day of our lives. We're perishing. Can anybody understand that clearly today? So we're perishing because we're a perishable people. We're not going to live forever in this state. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. And these are important principles, valuable that we understand. So something's got to happen. Something's got to change. Let me ask you a question. Did Adam die? Is he dead? Yes, he is. He's dead. Because the perishable can't inherit the imperishable. We got to have an example. So in Christ, we have that in Christ. In Christ, we have that. It comes to us. It is for us. The Christ life can and will inherit the kingdom of God. Because this is what happened to Christ. When Jesus was crucified, why was he crucified? Why did he have to die? Because he took on, he put on the same nature of his brethren. Jesus was 100% human with a body, soul, and spirit. Now, Jesus, the life that he lived with no sin. He didn't sin. The sting of death is sin. So death's ability to sting or to accomplish its work that it's been sent to do, that means to extinguish life permanently. You need to get this. Permanently extinguish life, there has to be sin involved. But Jesus had no sin. So when you ready for this? He tasted death. Are y'all getting this? He tasted death for us. So Jesus is now in his tasting of death. He's dead. But can death hold him? No, but why? Because there's no sin. So on the third day, God's evaluating all of this. He's looking at his life. He's 3 days dead, tasting death. 3 days that God evaluates and says he never sinned. Therefore, I must raise him from the dead to immortality. I must raise him. I have to. Because the death is the sting of death is sin. And he has no sin. So I must raise Jesus from the dead. And that's what God did. God raised his son Jesus from the dead. And when he raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus became the first human to be immortal. What does that mean? That means he cannot die ever again. Nor could he be tempted to sin ever again. He has no capacity to sin. At all. He used to. He had a capacity to sin before. But he refused to sin. That's why his sacrifice was a full payment for humanity. He could have sinned and didn't do it. Because he denied himself self-pleasure. Because that's what sin really is. Sin is pleasuring yourself. After God commands us not to do something. Every time God commanded, he said to Adam and to Eve, do not eat from this tree. You can have any other tree of the garden, but this one is mine. So to deny themselves that pleasure would have been to leave it alone. Did they deny themselves the pleasure of eating from that tree? No. So Satan comes and says, listen, I tell you what. If you eat from this one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. Right now, you're just man, but you'll be as God. So the temptation was, you'll be like God. You'll be God. I wonder if Jesus was tempted in that same way. Oh, yeah. Jesus was tempted in that many ways, many times. What did Jesus always say? He said, I'm the Son of God, the Son of Man. That's all he ever said. Not once did Jesus ever say, I'm God. You can read it. Go through all the scripture. I've been through them all. He never said it once. There was a time that Jesus was sitting with his disciples. They were talking. And Jesus asked this question. He said, who do men say that I am? He said, some say that you're a prophet. You're Elisha. You're a mighty man. He said, well, let me ask you something. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said this. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, right there, we have a great opportunity for Jesus to correct him. Because he said, no, Peter, you're wrong. I'm God. But what did he say? What did Jesus say? He said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you, but my Father gave you that answer. You got it right. I am the Christ, the Son of God. Very important. Very important. Valuable for the church today. So valuable. And I can't understand why we can't just humble ourselves and get back in the Word of God and figure this out. But let me tell you, it dismantles and tears apart the fact that Jesus was a supreme sacrifice, his death on the cross and his resurrection. It loses its validity, it loses its power if Jesus would have never been able to sin. What's the point in it? Why? So Satan comes and the temptation might go like this. So Satan comes and says, okay, let's get through this because, you know, ain't no way, you ain't never going to sin anyway. So, all right, let me go through my part. Okay, here's my part. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. I know you're not going to do it, so what? You see? Because he already knew he couldn't sin anyway. So what's the point in the temptation? But it didn't go like that. The conniving trickster that was in the garden is the same one that was in the wilderness. He was a slick, cunning, crafty person, and he was trying all he could to get Jesus to sin. And Jesus said, it is written, get behind me. You're ridiculous with that, because I'll not do it because God told me not to. That's incredible to me. That's what makes me want to get up every day and serve the Lord. I don't have to have bells and whistles and fancy stuff going on and all the excitement that people look for to go to church. You know, if we want to create excitement for our community, why don't we just be the first one to get up and go? You want to make a difference in your family? You be the leader. You get up and go. These people want to know what you're doing. I'm going to serve God. We shouldn't have to have chill bumps every service and excitement going on. We ought to get up because of what he did. The fact that Jesus could have sinned, but he refused to sin because he knew if I make it through this, I got a whole world that's behind me coming up. That as you're born the earthy, you can also bear the heavenly. He said they're going to be just like me. So we see that in Scripture. We see that happen unfolding all the time. So when death tried to hold Jesus down and had no authority over him because he had not sinned. And so now we have Jesus Christ, that immortal, who's been awarded an amazing position. He raised, Ephesians puts it this way, when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he says, which he wrought, uses the word in the King James, wrought or worked in Christ. He worked it in Christ. How did he work it in? See, so it's, if it's worked in, it means there's a process that it went through. It didn't just, he worked it in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That was the indication. When Christ raised, it was to let everybody know he's sinless. There's no point. He can't stay down. He's sinless. He can't stay. And so Christ was raised from the dead. And he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. God set Jesus at his own right hand. Who else is at the right hand of the Father? Nobody. We look at John's account of what he saw. There's nobody at God's right hand. It's God who sets Jesus at his own right hand. When Stephen was being stoned, what did Stephen get a vision of? What was the vision he saw? And this is before John wrote Revelations. So we know he got a vision or direct revelation from God at that moment. What did he see? He had the glow on his face. Stephen's being stoned, is about to take his last breath. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Glory to God. Isn't that, I believe it just, he just let Stephen know, I'm right where he said I was. I'm here. I'm right here. And so Paul, again, indicates that. He said he worked it in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion in every name that's named. Not only in this age, but also in the next age. So he's that now, and he will be that. Now, the full manifestation of that has not happened yet. Does that change the fact who Christ is? No. Is he at the right hand? Does he have authority over all powers and principalities? Yes, he does, right now. But it didn't come to full manifestation yet. This is not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So is it going to be, and then he hands that over. Not only does it happen to the male, remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago, but it also happens to the female. He created them both male and female. He created them. The female represents what? Represents the church. That's us. We're the female part of this. We represent the church. And you see this all throughout this study, how the female is directly connected to that. So he says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come, which is his body, the fullness that filleth all in all. And so we see that. And not only does Christ have that, but he said he also gave it to the church, which is his body. And he gave it to the church, same authority. That same authority is ours. How many understand that? So is it in full manifestation yet? No. We're not even resurrected yet. We're still going through the process. We're still being weeded out. Let me ask you this question. Is everybody in this room going to make it? You better hope you are. One of them. I'm hoping I am. My hope is in the Word of God. It's in the message that He gave me. So I'm going to study it out to make sure I'm following everything I need to, because I don't just want to hope in something that's empty. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. I got to get the Word of God in me. I got to inundate myself with the Word of God, because that's where my faith is strong. That's what keeps me going. I got to get inundated with it. And that's what helps me. And that's what's going to help you and I. And it's the same thing that happens when we go through these studies. We'll see these things unfold in our lives. It builds us so we can be strong in the Lord. Because you can't just say, well, I might be able to get there. Listen, if you ever started something and you don't get that accomplished unless you stay at it and you work at it hard and diligent and you put time in and do it, and all of a sudden at the end you got a finished product. But you don't go and do it every now and then and expect it to be done. That's crazy to think that way. Absolutely crazy to start something and then halfway through kind of, you know, do it every now and then. And in the end, you just come back and say, well, I thought it would be done. Really? Who was going to do it? And it's with your relationship with God. We know we just kind of, we touch on it every now and then. We might do a little bit every now and then with our relationship. We might go to church every now and then. But who's going to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Who's supposed to do that? Who's supposed to work it out to make sure that you're spot on no matter what happens, no matter even if you have an accident and die, you're spot on, you're in good shape. People have accidents all the time. Not just old folks die. Are you understanding? Well, you spot on right now. You up to as far as you know right now, you've done everything you know to do for that day. That you've taken care of your salvation. You've worked it out. And no matter what happens, you know your life is where it needs to be with God. Very important. So listen. This I now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So when Jesus resurrected, even in his state, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God in his state. He was flesh and blood. But when he resurrected, his body was changed. He was a changed person. Did he have a body? Absolutely. Things would change. Did he have structure to his skeleton frame? Yes. He was there. He was. He wasn't some spirit floating around into thin air. He was there. He talked. He ate. He communicated. He was touched. He said to Thomas, "Take your hand and put it in my side. See, it's me. I'm him." But he was different. He was no longer flesh and blood. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's got to be a change. And that's what's going to happen to you and I. So we're going to go through that change. I'm going to die. You're going to die. We're all going to die. Whether it's in a moment or we go to the grave, one way or the other, we all die. And we change. He said, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. We can't inherit. Now, the word inherit is very important. How many of you know there's something to be inherited? There's something that's waiting for us, belongs to us, assigned to us. It's got your name on it. If I told you today, listen quiet, very quiet, listen to the details of what I'm about to tell you. In a certain bank up in New Orleans, there's an account. I'm going to give you the account number. And in that account, there's $20 million, and it's for you. Belongs to you. Somebody starts out like that. You think they got your attention yet? You kind of poise. You kind of scoot up. You got your pointer, your pen ready. Right? And I tell you, I give you these numbers. All right? Say, write these numbers down. 2-5-2-2-1-1. Okay, give me those numbers back. Anybody know them? All right. So you got those. It's not really an account. I'm just, it's for play now. But my point, you get my point. You're going to be writing things down. You're going to be paying attention because there's a great prize up there that will literally change your life. How many know $20 million would change your life? It would change your life. Well, I'm not talking about $20 million. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about immortality. It will change your life. Literally change your life. And it's in an account. Been stored up for you. Jesus Christ paid for it in full for you and I. And if I'd be you, I'd be seeking it out with everything that's in me. So what would you do if it was for real? If we were saying for real, and everybody's for everybody. But you got to be there before 5 o'clock today. Because if you miss 5 o'clock today, it's not yours. I want to ask you if that was for real. Some of you already got some plans to do certain things. I just got a feeling. You would cancel those plans. I really do. I really do. You'd say, hey. You just take and wait. Why would you do that? Because you would weigh the reward against the plan. And you'd say, hey, no matter what, even if it was you had a job where somebody was going to give you $1,000, you would go, 20 million, 1,000. Hey, you can wait. You say, you better get you somebody else, right? You would do that. You'd be crazy not to. Because you know that that's waiting for you. It's guaranteed, but 5 o'clock, you got to be there. Well, I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is waiting for all of us, every one of us. But you got to listen, your time slot could be today. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But I can tell you don't know either. No man really knows. That's why he offers it constantly. That's why the offer is being made to you today. I want eternal life. I want to be able to have immortality just like Jesus. Just like I bore the earthy, I want to bear the heavenly. I can do that. He said I can. But it's up to you and I to do that. And so I want to encourage you today that this kingdom of God, this eternal life, this immortality is so incredible. And don't pass that opportunity up. We're going to be continuing in this series, looking at these things on a continual basis. I'm not sure how long it'll take us to get through this. But the next time we're going to be looking at more of these verses of scripture. I'm going to be covering on the garden and talking about Genesis again, talking about how God formed man. We're going to be looking at all of these things, Genesis 2:15, and the Lord took man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. We're going to look at all of those things and look at a typology again of Adam and Jesus and how they blend together. Okay? Well, let's stand together. I'm thankful for you being here today. I'm grateful for all of you being so attentive to the scripture. My prayer is that you would seek the Lord. Listen, this is a time for us to come together and be as serious as we've ever been with God. There's no doubt about it. We need to press in and be challenged in our faith. We need to be challenged every day of our life to study and seek the Lord. Well, I want to tell you that we have an amazing example in Christ. He's been so faithful to give us these examples on a daily basis. And I want to encourage you to pursue that. Take your Bible, study the Word of God, and pursue that. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to serve the Lord, you can. There's nothing difficult about that. Really isn't. It's all about deciding whether or not you want to please yourselves, self-pleasure, or deny yourself and take up the cross and follow Jesus. That's what he meant by that. When he said you have to take up your cross daily and follow Jesus, it's denying yourself the pleasure of just for a season. It's just for a little time. But to pick up the cross, he's saying to us, he said, listen, if you're picking up a cross, he's letting you know that there's a sacrifice involved. To go with Jesus right now in this society, there's a sacrifice involved. You're not going to be the most popular person. But you don't get into serving God to be popular. You don't get in it for prestige. You do it because it's the right thing to do. And the fact is the only way that you can have eternal life. It's the only way. You can't get it no other way. So I'm encouraging you today. Listen, look at this thing. It's the simplicity of the Word of God that sets the people free. This is nothing hard that we have to do. It's not some magical prayer that we can pray right now and all of a sudden you're in the kingdom. We're talking about a life that you got to live every day, day in and day out. I'm giving you a pattern. I'm showing you an example through the life of Christ, what it takes. We looked at the typology of Adam and Jesus and looked at the difference. And there's such a vast change that took place. But Jesus was in that same state. He was attacked from every angle and every side, but he refused to give in to that. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. I'm asking you every day of your life to get up and say, you know what, I refuse to do the things that are contrary to what God said. And that's why you have to study the Word of God. There's people today, they don't even know that they're walking contrary to the things of God. They have no understanding of it. That's why the truth has to be preached. That's why it's so valuable that we speak the words of God so people can hear it and understand it. Very important. Not only is it important for you to make that decision today, but you have family members that need to make that decision. You have people that you love and care about that need to make that decision. And you don't want them to be lost. And so we have to go out. Remember I said this last Sunday. Sometimes you're only given a small opportunity. That's it. Just a little crack in the window. It's all you get. You get one little shot at it and you got to share something with somebody. And maybe you never get another chance. Are we taking that opportunity? When it comes to us, are we stepping in to that chance that's given us to sow seed? Just a few weeks ago, I talked about it, that we're seed sowers. That's what our job is. We're to cast the seed, not go around looking and determining whether the ground's good or not. Just throw the seed out. Cast the seed out. Put it out on the ground and just keep casting seed. Keep casting. I want to assure you, it's going to hit on good ground. Some of them seed are going to hit on good ground. And let's make no mistake about it. Some won't. That's just the way it is. Some won't hit on good ground, but you keep casting the seed. You keep doing it. That's our job. Keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing. And it's going to fall on good ground. It will. And so I want to encourage you today that we'll make a decision that just as we have born the earthy, of the man of the earth, we've born the earthy, we can also bear from the man of the heavenly. We can bear it. It's up to you and I. We can.